Great. Thanks, Garrett. Thanks, everybody, for coming. I want to just give a broad overview here of some of the results of a survey of introductory soil science curricula that we've been conducting over the last year and a half or so. This is a collaborative effort between the University of Minnesota and Kansas State University, and I know many of you in this room have also responded and contributed to the survey, so we appreciate that. So our goals were really to improve knowledge of the diversity of materials, methods, and pedagogies utilized to teach introductory soil science or its equivalent. Tried to include all introductory level soil science classes regardless of what they're actually called at these institutions. We want to assist instructors and institutions in the process of revising or reviewing their introductory soil science courses. So part of the genesis of this project is that both Kansas State University and University of Minnesota had instructors who for 30 years taught all the sections of basic soil science and recently retired. Colby Moorberg and I kind of filled those roles, and both of us connected and were really interested in how do we change our courses, what's out there, what other materials can we use, what are people doing. We decided this would be one way to at least set a foundation for understanding what people are doing and how they're doing it. And then lastly, to identify opportunities for cross-institutional cooperation or the development of multi-user course materials and resources. I'll give an example of that that Colby and David Krause have been working on already. So we had 79 institutions that responded to this survey. Some of the institutions had multiple instructors in them. 36 of those identified as land-grant institutions. 40 as non-land-grant institutions, and then an array of Carnegie classifications within those, you can see. We also had 3 Canadian neighbors respond to the survey, and so we appreciate that. Those are kind of wrapped in here. And again, I'm just going to give a broad overview. We plan on submitting more detailed results to Natural Resources Education. So the first question is, who are we teaching, starting with class size? So the average class size is about 65 students. There is quite a range, although most of those institutions are clustered around that 60-student mark, less than 20 to more than 100 students. What prerequisites are we requiring? Almost two-thirds require chemistry. About a quarter require math. And then less than 10% each for some kind of biology, plant science, or physics, or geology and earth science. About 14% have no prerequisites or some sort of high school equivalent to these courses. Our introductory soil science courses satisfy a major or minor requirement. Almost over 90% of them satisfy a major or minor requirement. More than half require satisfy a general science or lab requirement. And the departments that are teaching these were kind of split between what we offer. So it's about a third, and a third between departments that offer soil science or a closely related major, a minor versus an option. And these don't add up to 100% because some departments offer multiple of these. Student demographics by class year. So I have a box plot here of these responses. We asked instructors to rate the percentage of their total students in these different class categories. Juniors were made up more than a third as an overall average. Sophomores and seniors follow closely behind, and then fewer freshmen and very few grad students or non-degree students. However, I'll note that there were 3 institutions who said that their introductory soil science courses, the student population was more than half graduate students. So there is quite a diversity out there. By requirement, instructors estimated that over 70% of students are taking the class because it's required, 14% as gen ed, and 12% as an elective. What was interesting is here, actually, land-grant institutions had a significantly lower proportion of students taking the course as elective than non-land-grant institutions. So I think it's particularly relevant for land-grant institutions who are looking to increase their basic soil science student populations, like Minnesota we are, to reach out to schools that are teaching more students that are taking it as an elective, have better ideas about how to engage those students, how to bring different perspectives into the classroom. The second question we asked was really, what are we teaching? And so the way we did this is we condensed the fundamentals of soil science performance objectives from SSSA into 36 topical categories. So we did our best to reflect kind of the diversity of topics that might be taught in basic soils. And we asked instructors to rate those in terms of how shallowly or how deeply they're taught in their courses. So shallow being no time allotted or just briefly mentioned but not explored, and deep being a set of multiple integrated lectures, labs, discussions around that topic. So the topics that were taught the shallowest amongst all institutions, precision agriculture was at the bottom. Most institutions were mentioning this briefly in their classes, but not exploring them. There were some institutions that rated this as a 3 or a 4 on our scale, which would mean that they're actually dedicating half a lecture or more to precision agriculture in their introductory soils classes. Other ones that were taught the shallowest, urban soils, engineering properties of soils, Atterberg limits, GIS and soils integration, bioremediation, and waste management. The most deeply taught topics, soil-water concepts, won out by far. So almost all institutions, more than half institutions, rated this as a 6, meaning in their introductory soils class, there's a whole set of integrated lab, lecture, discussion sections around soil-water. Others that were taught very deeply, soil classification taxonomy, horizon genesis and nomenclature, soil pH, usually most people rated this as a 5 or a 6. And soil development. So we're heavy on genesis, development, taxonomy, and then for a chemical process, soil pH, and a physical process, soil water concepts. 81% of these courses require a textbook. No surprise here, the major textbooks required were either the unabridged version of Brady and Weil or the abridged version. But if we look at some of the other textbooks that people are requiring, there's actually quite a diversity out there. So about 5% of respondents required Linbo et al., No Soil, No Life, Franz Mayer's Soil Science Simplified, and then a range of others, Singer and Munns, Plaster Soil Science and Management, Gardner and Miller Soils and Our Environment, and one used Randy Schetzel's Genesis and Geomorphology. About 40% recommended textbooks for their courses. Again, the two winners in that were Brady and Weil, both versions. But I think this is really where, when we look at all of the diversity of recommended texts, we see the individual instructors' angles, their unique perspectives. And so there's actually 8 different recommended texts that people utilize, examples of some here. So you can just see from the diversity what people are kind of tailoring their course to. Then we asked, how are we teaching it? So in particular, if we look at the non-lab sections, the non-lab portions of these classes, that course content, how do you rate the percentage of time you spend using different learning styles, pedagogy? So these don't add up to 100% because many had multiple sections and they actually taught the sections differently. So you know, we're kind of trying to balance here. So view these more as kind of the prevalence of these pedagogies across the spectrum. So no surprise, about 65% lecture comes to the top, but notably, active learning and studio style learning was used fairly heavily, significantly. About a third responded with peer learning and flipped classroom, and a quarter at online learning management systems. So there's really a diversity of learning styles that we're using. When we looked at this between class size and then the proportion of that class that's taught in a lecture format versus other alternative styles, there's actually no significant relationship. So I think that's encouraging. It means that overall, in introductory soils courses, people are working really hard, regardless of class size, to incorporate alternative learning strategies. There's also no significant difference in the distribution of these learning strategies between land-grant, non-land-grant, or any of the Carnegie classification categories. So we're all trying to mix it up and diversify in the classroom. 92% of our respondents said they have a laboratory component. About a third of those offer that lab as a separate course, separate from the introductory soils course that students can sign up for. 97% have defined lab periods. Only 2 institutions, I know this because we're one of them and I know Purdue is the other one, have self-paced labs. So we actually don't have defined sections. Students have a manual. They work through exercises on their own, usually with the help of some high-powered undergraduate TAs. Primary instructors are heavily involved in soil science labs. So 70% of respondents said the primary instructor is the instructor that's leading the labs. And then close behind graduate TAs, undergraduate TAs. About half of the laboratory activities are wet labs, and the rest are made up by field activities, exhibits, or digital activities. So over three quarters of the laboratory sections have a field component. The average was two field trips, ranging from one to six, per course offering. Initially, I thought maybe this is going to vary by latitude. We did our best because most people put in their emails, so I did my best to try to reconstruct the latitude of these respondents, and it does not appear to vary by latitude at all. So it means people are working really hard, even if you're climate challenged, to get students out in the field right away in our introductory classes. Lab manuals. Two-thirds of respondents use a custom laboratory manual. This is one that I'll talk about, the K-State edition here that Colby's been putting together. About 8% use commercially published, and then there's a range of others as well. We're split on whether there's a cost to the student for these lab manuals, pretty much in two, so half and half, yes and no. Distance learning. I was actually surprised at this. So 11 institutions said that they offer a completely online or distance learning format. I was aware of only a few of those. Most of those are not offered publicly, so you won't find them online, but they're offered through their institution. The average course size of those was about 40 students. The audience was predominantly undergraduates, almost 80% undergraduates for those distance learning sections. However, there's two programs that are tailored heavily to graduate students, to professionals, and to continuing education. And five institutions actually have a lab section, so about half of those that offer a completely online or distance have a lab section in conjunction with that distance learning. So our outcomes here, we're going to be preparing a manuscript, and we'll submit that to Natural Resources Education. I think this is really just the first step in understanding the state of soil science education now, and identifying potentially high payoff collaborative tasks. So can we move to open source? How do we do more sharing? How do we create platforms where we can communicate? And this is what I'll leave with really, is that 42% of surveyed instructors were very interested in connecting with other introductory soils instructors, exploring new approaches, building on each other's materials. So there's a and I was just talking to Garrett about this, there's a real interest to do a lot of this sharing. One model to do that is Colby Moorberg and David Krause at NCSU and Colby at KSU have been working on this open soil science. It's really an opportunity to connect and share. This is the companion paper they published in Natural Sciences Education. And so this is a model for how we could do a similar thing with other types of course content, discussions, lectures, figures, etc., and find a place to connect. So thank you to everybody who responded. We also did some pre-survey development, and some folks responded to that. We appreciate that. And we were supported in the development of the survey by our Center for Educational Innovation at the University of Minnesota. So I'm happy to take any questions if we have time.
We're right on schedule, so yeah, whatever questions you have, please present them.
Yes.
So with those online courses, when with the lab section, how is that?
So I reached out to some of the instructors who have the completely distance with the lab section. I talked to two institutions. One actually sends a whole box to the students, and then they're kind of going through in a way. Another one has the, so I guess it's, they have the distance component, but then they have to show up once a week for lab with the regular soil section. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Great, thanks.